Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Young Women Transform podcast. I'm Heather Risley with USAID's Office of Education.
And I'm Lindsay Wolf with Youth Power Learning.
Last time we talked, we were in a very different place, stuck in a USAID drab conference room. And now we're in a beautiful place that looks quite a bit different. We are in the small town of Masindi in Uganda, and it was quite a journey to get here. We landed in Entebbe yesterday, which is where the main airport is located in Uganda, and jumped in a car this morning, and it was about a four-hour drive through some really beautiful country to get here. So we're thrilled to be sitting in a beautiful outdoor space. The weather is very mild, so we are looking forward to the conversations that are coming. In this episode, we're going to be introduced to the Safe Plan staff here in Masindi. We're also going to be focusing on the theme of local solutions. We really think that the Safe Plan program illustrates a sense of strong community ownership and a holistic approach to youth engagement in all their activities that they have designed and implemented. Through many conversations in this episode, you'll hear us talk a lot about the idea of community engagement and how Safe Plan staff work with a lot of different stakeholders within the community. And community engagement is a key aspect of promoting local ownership and local buy-in so that the activities have stronger outcomes and really meet community needs. A little bit rainy today, but there's a lot of people around and they're all curious about what we're doing. So I'm sure they're not used to seeing people with microphones walking around. So it's about a 10-minute walk from the hotel, not too bad. So looking forward to meeting everyone this morning and getting these conversations going.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning, good morning.
Yes. We already on our
We're already recording.
Now we're with Annette.
Good morning.
Annette, can you please introduce yourself and tell us about your role with Safe Plan Uganda and the work you do with the young people of Masindi?
Okay, thank you. I'm called Annette Birungi. I'm Executive Director of Safe Plan Uganda. I oversee all the organization activities that are taking place. I'm part of the programming and organizing. I support the board in recommending the programs and advising on the activities that are meant to benefit the people, our beneficiaries, ensuring that we achieve our objectives.
Annette, could you tell our listeners what it was like growing up as a young woman in Uganda?
Growing up was not easy at all as any rural girl or any rural woman in Uganda, because traditionally or culturally, women are not given all the priorities. They are not given all the privileges to help them to plan for the success in their lives. Most of the opportunities are given to boys. So growing up was not all that on a silver plate for me. Also being that from the poor family, it was not all that easy. And of course, as a young girl, I was looking at my future. I was growing, dreaming big. I wanted to be someone who is really at a higher level of perspective of the community. So it was not easy. So it was through the support of my mother, who was so much interested in education, who was so much interested in seeing that at least her girl child access whatever she wants. I remember my mother could tell me that, no, I didn't go to school. much as I wanted, but at least I want my daughter to reach the higher education of learning. And I want to see that at least she comes or she becomes an important person that everyone will admire. So that was growing up. And that one inspired me to be maybe who I am today.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting to hear how important your mother was in formulating your experience and the emphasis that she put on education. So how did Safe Plan Uganda get its start? What were the initial objectives of the organization?
After analyzing the context of the youth, of the community, and also the young women, then Safe Plan Uganda came to design its goals, its objectives, what it really wanted to achieve for a certain community. Because if you look at our objectives, our main goal is to see that youth have a secure livelihood, they secure their jobs to improve their livelihood, and also looking at disadvantaged, rural poor, young women and youth. So it was through Safe Plan Uganda, even if you look at the name, Safe Plan, we are really safe planning for the community. And we are really safe planning for the better community, for the youth, for the young women. Then how it came into body team, being a community-based, people came together to form the community. People came together from different fields, having an analysis of what the community is and what they would wish to have. What we wish to achieve in a certain period of time. So,
safe planning for the future.
Safe planning for the future.
Very aspirational and inspirational that message for the young people.
That is the inspiration. Safe planning for the future.
So how is the community involved in supporting the organization beyond just the local government?
Community supports our organization activities in many areas. One, they do mobilize. They support us on mobilization. Secondly, if we have trainings, they will give us training venues. Thirdly, when we need resources. For example, let me put on this side of logistics. Like drinking water, maybe we have gatherings, we do not have water, we have gatherings, maybe we need food. Much as they come, we give them little money, but you find that what they are provided is worth. And also, they are there to help in programming, they help in designing our programs, because for them they know what is best suitable for them. They know where you can find this particular thing, and they know where you cannot find it, and they are really there much available to identify the people you are going to work with and how they will be helped. Take for instance the local leaders, the counselor and the church leaders, they sensitize. They will come and motivate the people, which would really see that it is a very big contribution to us, Safe Plan Uganda. What would be doing, they are really doing it. You introduce to them a program, a problem, and also they see that problem and addressing it raising more sensitization and also identifying more gaps that are in the community, identifying for you what areas that so much of the interest, which also help us to redesign our approaches, redesign our strategies to see that our programs, they really meet the community needs, they really meet the community interests. So there are so much various ways that the real community contribute to implementation of our programs.
And how are they involved in identifying the people that become involved in your programs?
We always have what we call community assessment. As we enter the community, the first stop is always the chairperson of the community, because he's the president of the community at that level. So the community, we get introduced to the community, carry out our assessments, what is lacking in this community. How do people feel about it? What do they need about it? If it is not working for them, or if it is not going to work for them, they will advise, they will recommend. And also, we shall have to sit with them and do what can work for them and what cannot work for them. They will guide us on so many other things.
It's very apparent how deeply rooted your work is in the community. So it's wonderful to hear more about that.
Thanks, Lindsay. I really enjoyed hearing more of Annette's personal story. I know next we're going to listen to more of your conversation with Daniel, who is the program manager with Safe Plan Uganda.
Yes, Heather, I really enjoyed speaking to Daniel. Daniel was able to provide me some key insights into what it is like to operate a youth-led organization like Safe Plan Uganda. In our conversation, Daniel was able to provide some key insights into how a youth-led organization like Safe Plan Uganda operates. Daniel and I discussed their experience as a winner of the Young Women Transform Prize. This prize was given to youth-led and youth-serving organizations that promote innovative solutions to barriers to young women's economic empowerment.
Sounds great. Now let's listen in to Lindsay's conversation with Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Lindsay.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us about your role at Safe Plan Uganda?
Good. My name is Akinda Daniel, the programs manager at Safe Plan Uganda organization. I oversee all the program of the organization, and I also step in to assist in other areas like in finance, ICT, and then other general duties alongside my fellow staffs.
And how did you hear about the Young Women Transform Prize?
The Young Women Transform Prize, actually, we got a link requesting for application. And as usual, we also express our interest. We filled the application form and submitted. After a while, we received communication to provide more information.
Why did you decide to apply when you saw that RFA?
We decided to apply simply because it was aligned to the activities that the organization is pursuing. It's aligned to our goals, and we had a predecessor program which was already set in the organization, and we are still lobbying for resources to make sure that the plan reaches its full completion.
So you were building upon the previous work that you had done,
for. We are trying to have a program that is an inclusive program that brings beneficiaries from the beginning to the end. Always we have seen programs entice people. Then when people are supposed to begin benefiting, the program has ended and it ends there. So it kind of doesn't give us very calibrated result that they were at this level, and when by the time the program was ending, they had reached this level.
So the project site in Nyantonze, how was that project site selected, that community?
Now, that project site, one of the founding partners used to commute to that site and identified the challenges young girls would face in that community. The distance to the school are really a bit large, and it would be very difficult for young girls to really trail this long distance to school. So maybe they thought that this could be one of the reasons why there is high-level school dropout, because you cannot know what is happening between home and school and then back. And most of the rural schools do not have lunch at school. So it puts the life of these young guys at really very vulnerable state. So this community, coupled with the fact that it is a sugarcane-dominated area, it would be very difficult. The factory is demanding enough sugar to feed in its feedstock so that they can produce the honey. So therefore, they need land. So the land is expanding and the food is. So we found it befitting being a community near the forest reserves. They could use this reserve in a collaborative manner with the government to also put their hives and benefit from the forest source other than relying on only agricultural activities.
How do you go about building trust with the people that you work with?
Yes, as from experience, we continue to build this trust, first of all, by our presence in the community, and secondly, continuing to engage with the partners, the community members, the target, your beneficiaries, and all those people who engage into your program, so that they want to see, they want a moment of truth that, yes, this organization exists. It has been here last month. Now it is 6 months, it's 1 year. It is still existing. So we keep on developing, building that trust from activities. We design activities that touch here and there, so that we in one way or the other, for instance, income generating activity, community-led programs, so that people feel our presence, that these young people have come together for a common goal, and indeed they are trying to do what has brought them together.
And how is the community involved in supporting your organization?
Yeah, in the first place, the community must know we do exist. They support us at different levels. Yeah, we get permission from them to operate. We get a certificate of registration. And then when we are going to run programs, we go through the community leaders, the LOC systems, youth leaders, and so on, who usher us into the community to advance our programs. So when we have reached the community, we always mobilize and conduct an information session or a meeting. It doesn't matter how it is, but at least we talk to people in the community. This is what we want to do, and we want to do it here. And then they give in the input, we integrate into the program, and then we improve, so that we keep on strengthening how we approach our community-led activities.
Another aspect of Safe Plan's organization is the creation of a board. The board is made up of both older people as well as youth. The board really reinforces the sense of community ownership over the direction of the organization. Both youth as well as their older mentors really drive the decision making and ensure that the organization is aligned with the community and the needs of the youth in that community.
Our board members have mixed up old people and young people who have got different professionals, different areas of work. We have the social workers, we have the teachers, we have the environmentalists, we have the health practitioners. So these people help us to guide us more, because they have got more expertise, they have got more knowledge on most of the programs we're implementing. So they help us to add on the knowledge, they support us with the resource. And also the old people come in as, of course, they are like patrons. They have wanted to see this young organization growing up, and they have also helped other organizations grow up. For example, our board member, Nick, he has been in part of other organizations starting up, growing up, and also he has been there from the start of the organization, helping us in organizing, helping us in the planning. So basically, our board members, they contribute to the resource because of what we do here. They have their knowledge, and they really feel that they can contribute to designing the programs that really fit the community context.
Nick is one of the older members of the board and made himself available to speak with us. He'll tell us more about the role of the board itself and the importance of how the board drives decision-making so that it's aligned with the vision of the organization. So now here's Lindsay with Nick.
So thank you, Mr. Nick.
Thank you very much.
Can you please introduce yourself and tell us about your role with Safe Plan Uganda?
Okay. It is a real pleasure. By the names Nick and Emojo, representing the board members of Safe Plan Uganda. And Safe Plan Uganda is an indigenous-based registered CBO. It is a youth registered in 2012. It is a youth-led organization with a core area of environment, health, education, gender equality, and ICTA. And our goal is really to empower, to enlighten and empower the youth in the community, and mostly the vulnerable group, to work with them and improve their status of life. And indeed, it is a pleasure that you have come, and I give glory to God for really identifying yourself with us.
How is the community involved in advising and supporting Safe Plan?
How are the...
The community.
In fact, from the beginning, we have to involve, natural and cultural, we have to involve the community, especially the religious leaders, to identify and get those who are really oppressed or vulnerable or burdened. So the community really we have to engage the community to identify for us those who really need help. Like our Lord here, these are people who are a bit vulnerable in the sense that they didn't get enough support financially from the parents. So the community, when you join them together, they can identify those people and bring them for training so that their standard also raised in one way or another to sustain the livelihood.
I think we had some really great conversations with the Safe Plan staff. Lindsay, you did a really great job with the interviews.
I really enjoyed speaking with Safe Plan about their experience as a youth-led organization and digging into how they've created systems to really be engaged with and responsive to the needs of their community.
I think we learned a lot about the idea of a board and how that can really drive a sense of community ownership. USAID's administrator, Mark Green, talks a lot about the concept of the journey to self-reliance. That's the phrase we use in USAID to effectively describe what sustainability looks like in programs, so that programs can exist beyond the life of the funding they receive from donors or other outside organizations. Really, the concept of building sense of ownership from the start is a critical aspect of that concept. It's really clear that Safe Plan has been doing this from the start.
In the next episode, we'll dive further into how Safe Plan Uganda's programs are truly youth-led, as well as hear further about a young man's life and how it was transformed through participation in Safe Plan's carpentry training program.
Interested in learning more? We have a lot more content for you. You can explore photos and videos from these trips, as well as find guidance and tools related to positive youth development and youth workforce development on the following websites. Go to youthpower.org to find out what works in youth development, or education links at www.edu-links.org/youngwomentransform to find more materials on education and youth. Finally, remember to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app.